Well, amen. Now that I'm up here, let's give the one that we're really here for, Jesus, let's give him a hand clap this morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody's doing good? Amen. Well, I got 25 minutes on the clock, and I'm going to use every minute of it this morning because I know that God's given me a word, and it's not for me, but it's just for you. And I know that there's somebody here today that needs to hear this. Pastor has been preaching a series entitled Bulletproof, and we're talking about bulletproofing our life. And, you know, how many of you guys remember in kids' church you had a memory verse? You know, there was always a verse, and you came back the next week, and Miss Pat would say, well, what was last week's verse? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 has really been our base scripture. And we're going to reference that a little bit today because that's really what we've been talking about is the armor of God. But before we do that, I want to kind of define what bulletproof means. Bulletproof, I looked it up. And if you don't know what something is, all you got to do is Google it, right? So bulletproof, it said designed to resist the penetration of bullets. So whether that's maybe an armored vehicle or bulletproof glass or body armor, that's physically something that's bulletproof. Or maybe you're talking about a system that is bulletproof, a foolproof system that's not that will not fail, that's without error or without criticism. But then I looked up synonyms for bulletproof, and what that is just a word that it's just another word for bulletproof. And I saw some examples, and some of those examples were impervious to assault. And I was like, wow, okay. It said guaranteed, something that's solid, something that's impenetrable, invincible, indestructible, shielded, untouchable. And I hear all those words and I think to myself, God, that's what you want me to be. You want me to be bulletproof. And we're not talking about a physical bulletproof this morning. We're talking about spiritually bulletproof. We're not talking about the things we see with our human eyes, but what we see in the spirit. Because how many of you guys know that all of us have a soul, a spirit, that's going to go somewhere when we die? So we're talking about spiritual things this morning. You know, and this is just, I'm going to throw this out there. It was a slang definition of bulletproof, and I've never seen this. And maybe for the world, this might be a definition of bulletproof. It said, able to drink shot after shot of anything for a significant amount of time without throwing up. It's there. It's in the urban slang dictionary. It talks about bulletproof, taking shot after shot without throwing up. Well, I hope that's nobody here today or maybe nobody that last, you know, Saturday night, because that's not the kind of bulletproof that we're going to be this morning. So we're going to look at this base scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It says this. It says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against all the strategies of the devil. It says, and this is what I want you to see, because it's important to know what we wrestle against. We're not wrestling against Andre the Giant or Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold Steve Austin. No, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against our church family and each other. We wrestle, and we don't even wrestle really with ourselves. It's a spiritual battle. And what does it say we wrestle against? Rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realm. So those are the four things it says that we are really at war against. Paul goes on to say that what we have to do is put on the whole armor of God. And it says that when we do that, we'll be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. And that's really the portion that I want to focus on today, is standing firm. In Ephesians chapter 6, in this passage of scriptures, it tells us to stand firm four different times. It talks about standing firm. It says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For your shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation, the helmet of salvation, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And lastly, we don't need to forget this, because this is the seventh part of our armor, and that's prayer. A lot of the times we forget that prayer is part of our armor. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. Without prayer, you cannot communicate with God. You have to be able to pray to communicate and to exercise your faith. So now that we've kind of looked at that, the main thing I wanted you to take out of those scriptures is this: to stand firm. To stand firm in your faith and know who you are in Christ. A lot of the times we may know in our mind who Jesus is, but when the battle starts raging and the enemy comes against us, are we really standing firm? And I think that's what God's wanting to say to us today, is that we need to exercise our faith. I exercised a little bit of faith yesterday, and I hope everybody can laugh at this because I've been thinking about it all morning, and I might as well say it. I exercised some faith yesterday by trying to cut my own hair. So if you notice that I've got a clean cut this morning and it may be a little jacked up, it's because I did it myself. Okay, my wife comes home yesterday and she says, "What did you do to your hair? You jacked it up." And I said, "Well, you know what? At least it was free." So, you know, I started to just trim the sides a little bit, but I got a little carried away and I just kept going with that. And next thing I know, I said, "Man, I got a full haircut." So I guess you could say that's exercising faith a little bit. But that's faith in myself, you know. You got to have a little faith in yourself. But, you know, what I'm trying to get you guys to look at this morning is not faith in yourself, but faith in Jesus. Faith in the power that lives inside of you. Because you think about Peter. Peter, Jesus walked on the water, and what did Peter do? He said, "Lord, let me come out on the water with you." So he stepped out of the boat. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on water. But the minute he started trying to do it on his own, what happened? He began to sink. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about, where you're focused on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone and not yourself, but the power that's inside you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. And we've got a good amount of scripture that we're going to use this morning, but I think it's important because it says this in the Bible. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So without God's word, what do we have to stand on? That is our sword of the Spirit. It says this, it says, "My brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Stand firm. You have to fully commit yourself to God. God doesn't want half-hearted serving. He wants all of you. He wants you to give all of yourself, not just part of yourself. Abraham Lincoln once said this. He said, "Be sure to put your feet in the right place and then stand firm." Put your feet in the right place and then stand firm. How many of you know that you can stand firm for a lot of things in life, but if you're not in the right place at the right time, that may not be what God's got planned for you. It says you got to put your feet in the right place. So what I'm talking about today is when you're standing firm, I don't care if you're going through a valley or if you're on the mountaintop or if it's good or bad or you're going through a trial or a tribulation or ridicule or persecution, all those things are going to come because when you stand for the things of God, sometimes you got to make a stand, and you may be all by yourself. You may be standing there all by yourself, but you know what? God has got your back. God is in control, and all he's asking you to do is stand up for what's right. Sometimes you got to just say, you know, Joshua, he said this. He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Sometimes you got to make up your mind that I don't care what everybody else is doing. We're going to serve God. We're going to do what God's called us to do. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And I'm reading out of different translations, but that's okay. Some versions, you just get it gives you a better meaning of what you're looking for. It says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith." It says, "Be courageous and be strong. Everything you do, do it out of love." How many of you can say this morning that you're courageous? How many of you, You know, I look at everybody's faces this morning and it's like, Lord, what can I say to motivate? What can I say to inspire and to get somebody to really get this down inside of them? You know, because this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that there's somebody here today that needs to know that it's time to stand firm. You're going through something, but you need to know that it's time to stand firm. I want to give y'all a little bit of background about a movie. It's been out for a long time. It's called The Matrix. Has anybody ever seen that movie, The Matrix? It's kind of a sci-fi adventure thriller. And the Matrix itself is like a computer program generated world. Everything around you, what you see, what you taste, what you touch, what you smell, that's the Matrix. It's all just a computer program. Well, in this movie, there's a man named Neo. And Neo is said to be the one. He's the one. And he comes to the knowledge of knowing that the Matrix is just what he physically sees. But behind the scenes, there's another world that he becomes involved in. And he realizes that there's something more than to what he sees around him. And in this movie, Neo, he's told many, many times that he's the one, that he's the chosen one that's going to set his people free. Well, I don't think Neo really believed it. He didn't really believe it, but he was curious. He wanted to know what this Zion was, what it was beyond the Matrix. And in the Matrix, there's these guys, they're agents. You know, they look like FBI agents. They got black suits on and earpieces and glasses. And they always told Neo, if you run into one of those guys, you better run, because that's the enemy. They told him, if you run into him, you run, like the rest of us. So that's what he knew to do, was run if he ran into an agent. But you know what? Somebody had a prophecy, and they told him, they said, you are the one. And I don't want to get too caught up on this this movie, because it's just a sci-fi movie. But it's the idea of him being the one. It's not really that he was the one, but it was the force and the power that was inside him. So there comes a point in the movie where he comes face to face with agents. And I want to play that video clip right now. Remember, we're talking about bulletproofing your life. And I want to just show that real quick. And we're going to see what happens when Neo begins to believe in himself. All right, so I don't know if that excites anybody, but it really excites me, because I start looking past what I just seen, and I think about spiritual things. And I think about when the enemy shoots bullets at me. Somebody needs to get a hold of this morning. I'm telling you. The enemy's right there, and he's shooting bullets. But what does Neo say? He stands his ground, and he puts up his hand, and he says, no. That one bullet. He took one bullet, and he looked at it, and he said, you know what? Not this time. No. He took one bullet and dropped it to the ground, and every other bullet that was flying at him dropped because of the power that was inside him. And I'm telling you today, it's just like that in your spiritual walk with God. When the bullets start coming, all you got to do is put up your hand to the enemy and you tell him, no, not this time. You tell him, I'm a child of God. You stand your ground. I'm telling you, somebody's got to get this morning, because somebody needs to know that there's a power that's inside of you that's greater, that's in the world. They told him, they said, you are the one. They said, how is it possible that he's the one? But this morning, I'm telling you that you're not the one, but the one that lives inside of you. That's the one. Jesus is the one, and he's working and living through you. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and see what it tells us. It says, you are of God, little children. It says, and having overcome them, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got to start believing that. All these scriptures and the word that you put down into your spirit, you got to take that and you got to run with it. And you got to say, you know what? I believe what this Bible tells me, and I'm going to live it. I think this morning we need to put the devil on the run. I think sometimes we need to put our foot down and say, no more. This is where it stops. It stops right here, right now. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you're having a marital problem. You may be facing a divorce. You may have a drug addiction that you've struggled with, or alcoholism that you've struggled with for years. You may just be lost and hurting inside and hungry and desperate and thirsty for something more in life. And I'm telling you that the answer is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that there is an answer, and it's in Jesus. Somebody needs a spiritual breakthrough this morning. Somebody needs to know that there's victory in Jesus. Somebody needs to get that down inside of them and say no. It's time for somebody this morning to put their hand up and say no. If the answer is always yes, there we go. We got somebody right here. He said he's feeling it right now. Amen. The answer is yes. It's okay to get excited about the things of God. Amen? We need victory in our life. Let's look at this next scripture, James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this. It says, humble yourselves before God. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Somebody has got to live this thing. We can talk it all day long, but when it comes down to it, are we going to live it? It's just like Brother John tells us all the time. He says, you got to be word up. Where's Brother John at? You got to be word up. You got to live this thing 24/7. There comes a point in time where we're not just hanging on for dear life just by God's grace and mercy, but he wants us to get a little bit beyond just spoon feeding. He wants us to get beyond just, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did, but Lord, I'm going to go back out into the world and I'm going to do it again because I know that you love me, and I'm just going to come back and I'm going to get forgiveness again. No, he's looking for some blood-bought, spirit-filled believers of God that are on fire and that are going to do something, that are going to take the fight to the enemy. The enemy's brought it to us long enough. It's time for us to start fighting back against him. You got to know who you are in Christ. Not only do you talk, but you walk with authority. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Pastor touched on this verse last week, and I said, dang. I said, I wanted to use that verse, but you know what? We're going to use it right here. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It means they're not fleshly. It's not like a gun or a knife. That's not what we're fighting with. It says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are spiritual. Our weapon is the sword of the Spirit. Our weapon is the Word of God. When things start happening in our life, we speak. We speak to those problems. We bring down strongholds. There's been too long that people have set back, and we've said, well, oh, we believe in the power of God, but I don't know if I want to lift my hands and show other people that I love Jesus. I don't know if I want to read my Bible every day. Yes, you do. Yes, you need to do that. You need to stand firm, and you need to walk in what God's got for you. Spirit-filled power of God to break chains and strongholds that are holding on to people. Breaking chains and strongholds. Y'all, I'm going to have to get a drink of water. I got to stop for 1 second. Did you know that when you're going through something, that upsets the enemy worse than anything is when you start to praise. When you start to bring a praise to God. You know, pray. You look at the word pray. That P is for praise. The R is repent. You got to get your heart right. The A is ask what you want from God, and the Y is yes. Yes for every promise that he's given to you in his word. This morning, you need to be on guard. You need to watch, and you need to start claiming ground and taking the fight to the enemy. You need to let your light shine in the darkness of this world. You know, we need to just take up the sword of the Spirit. You know, when I think about the sword of the Spirit and taking the battle to the enemy, how many of you guys like Star Wars? Anybody ever seen the movie Star Wars? Pretty famous. George Lucas, he went so far as to say the force and the dark side, but he didn't really call it what it truly was, and that's, you know, God and Satan. But that's okay, because I got the drift. I know what he's saying. But, you know, this morning, go ahead and cue me up a little music, John Aaron. I think we need to think about taking up the sword of the Spirit. You know, the force. You know, I have the force inside of me. So I'm gonna take up the sword of the Spirit. And right here, I may have the spirit of pride coming against me. And I'm gonna go ahead and I'm just gonna battle. And I'm gonna say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm gonna cut him down, because I've got the sword of the Spirit. So there goes that spirit of lust, and here comes the spirit of pride. And he's wanting to take me out, but I say no. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And here comes the spirit of lust and addiction. And I say, no, Satan. You want some of this? You come get the Spirit of God. And you give it to him, and you say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You take the fight to the enemy. You take up the sword of the Spirit. That's what Satan ought to look like. Every time he messes with a child of God, he ought to be laid out like that right there. Sword of the Spirit. That's your sword of the Spirit right there, the Word of God. That you take that and you use that as your weapon against the enemy. You got to speak the word. You got to believe. The lightsabers are still going over here. You got to believe that there's power in the name of Jesus. And I know that's just a physical demonstration, and you say, oh, well, man, what kind of church is this? They got lightsabers and Star Wars, and hey, that's okay. Whatever it takes to get people's attention, to make people realize that there's something more than what the world has. Why does George Lucas have to have all the fun? You know, let's have a little fun right here at Faith Outreach. Look at a couple other key scriptures that I want to share with you this morning. And I love this verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. You know, this is so powerful. And when I read this, I said, God, you know, he was talking to me one night, and he's like, Michael, I don't know why you struggle with some of the same things, because he said, I've already died for that, son. I've already taken that to the cross. I took that to the cross. It's my sin. He takes ownership of my sin. Look what he did for us. This is what Jesus did. It says, you were dead because of your sin and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. And then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave you of all your sin. It says he canceled the record of the charges that was against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. This morning, if you're guilty and you've got shame and you're struggling with sin, Jesus said that I've already taken that and I nailed it to the cross. That your debt has been paid, it's canceled, it's paid in full. You don't have to keep dragging that around, because I've got something new for you this morning. It says in this way, this is what got me right here. It says he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. You remember that verse in chapter 6 of Ephesians? The rulers of darkness and the authorities. He disarmed them. And he put them to shame by the victory over them at the cross. He put the enemy to shame, guys. We don't have to fear an enemy when they're shooting blanks. The enemy doesn't even have a... We're dealing with a Barney Fife devil. His bullet's in his shirt pocket. He don't even have a bullet in his gun. The word says right there that he disarmed the enemy. Disarmed the enemy. Why should I be scared of an enemy that's shooting blanks? Not only has God made me bulletproof, but he took the bullets away from the enemy. So why do I keep buying into the thing or buying into the idea that the world or that Satan can't overcome me? No, that's not what the Bible teaches us. It says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have the authority through Christ. And when you start walking in that, it makes a difference. When you start exercising that faith, it makes a difference because it becomes real and it becomes genuine inside your heart. If you're taking notes, you could say this. Don't overestimate the enemy and then underestimate our God. God is greater. He is in control. One last verse I want to share with you, and it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. And this is so awesome because it tells us that really the battle's not ours, but it belongs to God. It says, you won't have to fight this battle. Just stand firm, Judah and Jerusalem, and watch God's saving work for you take shape. Don't be afraid. Don't waver. You march out. Let me see the end of that verse. March out boldly tomorrow because God is with you. You don't have to be afraid because the battle is God's. All he's asking you to do is stand firm in the promises that he's given you in his word. He wants you to take a stand and be that Christian that he's called you to be. You know, I think it's time to be bold and take a stand in your faith. There may be people here today that maybe you've never made that choice to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe today this is a call of salvation to someone that's lost and that's hurting. And you've seen the things and you've tasted the things of this world, but you come into God's house this morning with God's people and you realize that there's a love and there's a peace that can be found only in God. Someone here today needs salvation. I pray with all my heart that everybody in here already knows Jesus and has already made him the Lord and Savior of their life. But if you haven't, now's the time to do that. I think it's time for some people to take a step out in faith and to receive a new anointing that requires you to stand firm. Some people in here today need to make a commitment to God. They need to make a commitment to God that they're going to stand firm in their faith. There's some people in here that you've lost your joy. You've lost your passion. And God, what God is wanting to do this morning is he's wanting to let you see that you can stand firm. That you can stand firm. That you can live by what this book says. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you to get up out of your seat. I'm not going to ask you to, put yourself on display. But you know, I think we ought to take time to look inside of ourselves and see where we are with God right now. All videos and lightsaber wars or battles to the side. There is a real battle. And when we walk out this door, we don't want to just look in the mirror on Sunday morning and say, oh, that's who I am in Christ. Yeah, that's what life should look like. And then walk out that door and turn away from Christ and totally forget who we are. Let's don't do that this morning. Let's take a stand. Let's take a firm stand for God. So this morning, if you want to do that, if you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, I just ask for everyone to bow your heads. Close your eyes. You know, there's not really a set thing that you have to say. It's really what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart. But you know what? I'm going to help you just a little bit this morning, and I'm going to ask that if there's somebody that wants to know Jesus, that you just say this prayer. Just repeat it after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning to come into my life. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he rose again and he conquered death. He's forgiven all my sins. And now I have a new life in Christ. my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, for those in here that you've made that decision, but maybe you need to make a fresh commitment to God and you need to say, I got to stand firm. I just want you to just look inside your spirit right now. I just want to give you a moment. And maybe you just need to rededicate or recommit yourself to God. You can do that. You can do that right now. Let God know that you mean business, that you want to stand firm, that you love Him, and that you're going to serve Him and do everything that He's called you to do. Is there anybody in the house today that could just lift up your hand and say, you know what? I want to take a stand. I want to live for God. I want to have that level of commitment that I've been lacking. I want to give Jesus everything I've got. You know, this morning, if you said that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you're never going to regret that, because then it's an eternal decision. And one day you will stand before God and Jesus will be right there. And He'll say, I know Him. I just want to thank everybody this morning for being here. I want you to know, if you're visiting this morning, that we love you. We want you to continue to come and grow with us. If you need a church to come to, this is a great church family. But you know what? Don't let this fall on deaf ears. Take it back with you this week. Take it to work with you and say, hey, you know what we did at church Sunday? And then when people start asking you, that's your opportunity to witness. If we keep it all bottled up inside right here in this church building, then how are we advancing the kingdom of God? Take it with you and witness to others this week and tell them about Jesus and tell them about standing firm. Guys, God loves you and He wants the best for you. We love you at this church, and I just thank God for having the opportunity to get up here and to preach God's word. It's such a privilege. Thank you, guys.
Amen.